Why won't you wait? Jesus commanded his disciples before his ascension into the heavens, wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for it. It was Vance Havner who said, he who waits on God wastes no time. And how true is that? You're not wasting any time by waiting on God to pull out or to do the things he needs to do or accomplish. I remember one time in Bible college, a preacher was preaching on deliverance. And he said, you know, it's amazing how God always shows up. He never shows up when we want him to. He doesn't show up when we think he should. He doesn't show up at the time that others think he should. But you can guarantee that God is always on time and he's always there at the right time. And it's a very true statement. It's important for us as Christians that we learn the ability to wait for God. In other words, be patient for him. Some Christians are such in a hurry. They're frantic all the time. God, I need you here. And if God don't show up, oh my gosh, he must be forsaking me. As if God would forsake you. As if God would drop the ball in your life and leave you hanging high and dry. As if the God of all creation who's never failed will fail you. Amen? He never will fail us. He never will fail you. But we're always in a hurry. We're always frantic. We're always rushing around. I read a story from Madeline Roxwell who wrote for the Reader's Digest. She described her grandmother as a woman that was a ball of fire. She's always in a hurry, always frantic, always getting things done. And her mentality was it should have been done yesterday. But her grandpa was a very slow, methodical, and deliberate man. So those two really meshed well, don't you think? Well, one night, it was early in the morning, real early in the morning. And they heard some commotion in the chicken coop. And so grandma quickly in her nightgown jumps out of bed and in a frantic hurry runs out the door, gets out there, and she finds the culprit causing the problem, and it is a black snake rustling up all the chickens. And so she takes her bare foot, steps on the black snake's head, and holds it there waiting for grandpa to get there. A slow, methodical, deliberate man. When grandpa finally comes out to see grandma, it's 15 minutes later. He's completely dressed for the day in such a manner that he's got his pocket watch in his pocket. That's how methodical and deliberate he was. And when he got to the chicken coop, he sees his wife with her bare foot on the head of the snake. And he says to her, well, if I knew you had it under control, I wouldn't have hurried. A lot of us are like grandma more than we are like grandpa. We want the Holy Ghost, but we want it right now. We want God to move, but we want him to do it right now. We're always in a hurry. We're frantic. We're constantly moving back and forth. Even the promotional advertising of our day has caught on to the notion that we have to have it right now. Burger King has a slogan, your way, right away. Because they know that we want it right now, our way, right now, our way. A while back, Sonic used to have a slogan. It was service with the speed of sound. Like that's possible, but yet that's exactly what they advertised. Because they knew in our hearts that we wanted it right now. And so they tried to play to that mentality that you come here, we'll feed you fast so you can get out of here. And a matter of fact, we get mad if it doesn't get fast enough. I've seen people at McDonald's at a fast food restaurant, they feed you in literally 5 minutes, tops. And I've seen people just, it's taking them forever to make that horrible hamburger I'm about to consume. That's exactly what it's like. We're frantic. We're in a hurry. Well, you know what? That mentality has spread over into the church. We don't want a preacher that's long-winded. Come on now, talking to us, amen. We don't want a preacher long-winded. We don't want that song service to sing many. We don't want that song leader to sing very many songs. Just sing enough so we can move on. And when the announcements get too long, well, brother, you were just too long today. We get in a hurry. We're frantic. And then that mentality spills into the church. And that's how we approach God. God, my way right away. I need you to answer my prayer with the speed of sound, God. But God don't answer prayers like that. You know, that mentality has even affected preachers. I've seen preachers, they preach 10 minutes, they sing for 30 minutes, and then the service is over. A.W. Tozer said that we hear a lot of message about go ye, but we hear very little about tarry ye. We have a lot of people that have no concept of seeking the Lord at all. They don't know what it's like to press through, to pray through. That's what the old timers used to call it, praying through. We don't know how to wait on God with the patience and expectation that's necessary. Well, I read to you that scripture where but Jesus commanded his disciples before his ascension into heaven. He said, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for that to come. Now, when you research that word wait in the Greek, that word wait literally means to stay around with expectancy. Stay around with expectancy. You know, when I pick up my little girls from the bus stop, I sit there with my dog. I usually pick her up with my dog because I kill two birds, one stone, take the dog for a walk, pick up the daughters. So I go there and I'm sitting there waiting. You know, I don't sit there thinking, I hope it comes today. If it don't come today, something's wrong. And daddy's going to be mad. And I sit there waiting with the expectancy. I don't leave and go down to Sonic or Starbucks or take off and think, no, I stay around with the expectancy that the bus is going to come to a stop right here and it's going to let off my precious little girls that I so desperately want to see. So I'm waiting with the attitude of expectancy. When Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father, he didn't say, sit on your hands and do nothing. He said, wait with an attitude that expects it to come. Don't sit there and think it isn't coming, but it's like the bus. It's going to show up. You just got to stay around there until it does show up. Many Christians don't stick around long enough to see the Spirit move. The process of your waiting, don't doubt that the promise of the Father is coming, but stick around because it is coming. We don't like to wait. Matter of fact, we hate waiting. We hate waiting so much, we'll take matters into our own hands. That's when you really mess it up. That's when you really mess it up. When you take matters into your own hands, that's exactly what King Saul did. King Saul was waiting for Samuel to come to offer the sacrifice. He was in a great situation. He had the army of the Philistines marching against him. He knew there was trouble coming against him. And instead of waiting on God, he took matters into his own hands and he sacrificed. And when Samuel came, he said, what are you doing? He messed it up. He messed it up. And Samuel said, you're not supposed to be doing this. And a lot of Christians who take matters into their own hands, they don't trust God enough to wait. When you have issues with family members or you become disgruntled with other Christians, instead of waiting on God to make the situation right and help heal the situation, you try to take matters in your own hand and then you blow up at them. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. Amen. It's easy as a Christian to try to take matters in your own hand, but when you take them in your own hand, it is literally telling God, I don't trust you enough. I don't trust you enough to bring me through this or to fix this problem. But if you just, sometimes God just wants you to go back and say, hey, I don't understand this one. I'm just going to give this one to you. I'm going to give this one to you. There's nothing wrong with a Christian throwing up his hands and saying, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. Lord, I give it to you. And then literally, Christian, you can turn around, walk away from the circumstance, walk away from the situation, and live in peace knowing that it's in the hands of the Almighty God. And He will not fail you when it's in His hands. When we refuse to wait on God, it exposes our lack of trust in God. The Lord knew that we would face times of impatience. He knew we would. He knew we would face times where we were reluctant to trust. We had hard times or situations where we would not be able to wait. And so he prophesied. He shared a word through the prophet Isaiah. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The promise is to those that learn the ability to wait on God. The Bible doesn't say pray one time you shall receive. It says, seek and ye shall find. That means you keep looking and you keep looking and you keep looking until you retrieve what you're trying to find. We don't like to wait, but God likes sometimes for us to wait. I've been with people seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and some of them receive it fairly easy. And they get it real quick. I've seen people get baptized in water, come up speaking in an unknown tongue. I've seen people come down to the altar and they pray and they got it. And then I've seen people, it takes weeks. And I've seen people, it takes months. I've seen people, it takes years. God has his own purpose in his own time and his own waiting period. And it's not our job to question the sovereignty of the Lord. But we do understand this, that there's a purpose in the waiting. And I could probably give you about 30, 40 different points why God likes to make people wait, but I picked my favorites. Is that all right? One of the first reasons why God likes to make you wait is because a lot of times he likes to expose your value system. Waiting will give you a better understanding of what you value. If you're not willing to wait for it, obviously you don't value it. Amen? If you're not willing to seek it out and wait for it, you don't value it. The woman with that lost her money, the Bible doesn't say that she just looked a little. The Bible said that she thoroughly swept her floors until she found it. Why? Because that money had a value to her. And she kept seeking and looking until she found it. When you value something, you keep going and you keep looking and you keep seeking for it. Right now, my children have piggy banks. They don't understand the value of a piggy bank. We take their money, we put it in the piggy bank, and all of a sudden it's the piggies eating their money. And they can't go down to the Dollar General and buy a toy that's going to break apart in no time at all. We want them to save money. Why? Because Daddy don't want to buy them all a car when they turn 16. That's why. Want them to buy their own car with their own piggy bank money. So we make them put in the piggy bank. Well, they hate that piggy bank sometimes. Matter of fact, some of them have robbed that piggy bank. Telling you, that piggy's gone through some troubles. But because they don't understand the value. Now, when are they going to understand the value? When Daddy takes a hammer, breaks open the piggy bank at the age of 16, and we start counting up the money. And we say, well, looks like you saved enough to buy yourself a beat-up old clunkered Pinto. So let's go get it. Amen? Let's go get it. But they won't understand the value of the piggy bank until they're able to truly spend it. And it's hard for a kid to grasp that. Us as adults, we understand the value of saving, but kids have a hard time understanding that. We treat God with the same childish mentality when we refuse to wait because we don't value what we should value. And oftentimes we value things we shouldn't value, so God makes you wait until you get rid of those things that need to be properly valued in your life. So God exposes our value system by simply making us wait. The disciples didn't wander around. They waited for the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it came at the day of Pentecost. It was 10 days later. 10 days later. They sought God for 10 days, waiting, praying, praising the Lord every day, waiting for the Lord to come, waiting for the promise of the Father. And it wasn't until the promise unleashed that they were able to move forward past that moment. Until then, they had to wait until that promise came. Waiting also means it's time to prepare for it to come. The word wait in the Greek means wait with expectancy. Stay around and expect it to come. When someone comes to pick me up, every now and then Brother Casey will get me to come work with him at the Jim's House of Glass. And so he'll call me. He'll say, you know what, I'll come. I said, you're going to come pick me up? He said, I'll come pick you up. And I said, what time are you coming? He says, well, I'm coming about this time. I said, okay. So you know what I do? I set my alarm. You know why? Because I know someone's coming. He's coming to pick me up. So I get ready in the morning. You know what? I don't put on a three-piece suit going to work at Jim's House of Glass. You know why? They'll cut up my suit. That's why. So I don't wear a three-piece suit. I wear work clothes when I go. And I wait for him. Now, sometimes I'm the kind of guy, you know, I don't sit down, turn the news on, and go, well, he'll show up when he does. I'm kind of antsy. I'm always waiting. You know, I'm kind of frantic and in a hurry all the time like you are. And so I'm wondering when he's going to come. So every little sound outside, you know what I do? I run out there and look at the door and make sure I didn't miss him. One time I got so antsy, I just went outside and sat there. Sat there a long time. I called him and he goes, oh, yeah, I'm on my way. And I know he's just crawling out of bed, amen. And so I'm waiting for him to come. When we are waiting on the Lord, it's not that we sit there idly without anything we're doing. We are sitting with the mind of preparation. Father, I know it's coming. I've been waiting for it. It's my hunger. It's my desire. And because of that, I'm waiting and I'm preparing my heart to receive. I'm waiting in prayer. I'm waiting by seeking your face. I'm waiting in preparation for your promise to come. We've got to get back to that type of philosophy with the Lord. We need to be mentally preparing our minds for him to come, for the power to fall. Waiting means that you become sensitive. Sensitive. Like I said, when I didn't know if he was out there and I heard a car pass down the street, I ran to the thing thinking he was there. I became sensitive to every sound that happened outside. Why? Because I'm preparing. I'm preparing for him to come. When we are preparing for the Lord, we become sensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God. Do you remember when you used to get in? Some of you don't know that terminology. That's old-fashioned Pentecostal terminology for get out of your seat, get down to the altar, and get something. That's called getting in. Amen? Getting in. There was one revival I went to. It was a revival they titled Getting In. And they told everybody, if you want it, it's down here. Get in. Well, Christians, what we've lost so much of is the sensitivity to the Spirit and the moving of God. We are very sensitive to everything else. We're sensitive to the sound, the music that plays in the church. It's too loud. It's not loud enough. It's too loud. It's too not loud enough. Amen? Now, I'm not demeaning the fact that we have to adjust the sound, but you get what I'm saying. We are sensitive to so many other things, and how much more should we be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit? We should be so sensitive that when he comes, we're ready for him. When Casey come pick me up, I didn't look at him and go, well, good to see you, brother. Have a good life. I got in the car, went with him. I was waiting for him. There's sensitivity in it. Listen, we've got to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. Why is it that when he's moving, you're not praising? Why is it? Why is it when the Lord is coming upon you and talking to you and dealing with you, you're not being sensitive and responding? Why is that? Why is that? What is so hard for you? Listen, I'm going to step on toes tonight. Here it goes. Why is it so hard to get out of your chair, walk down to the altar, and get in? What is so hard about that? It never was a bad thing when I grew up to go down to the altar. It's still not a bad thing to go down to the altar. It's a bad thing not to go down to the altar. Amen? It's important as believers that we're sensitive to the moving of God and that we get back to that old mentality. I'm getting in. Why are you going to the altar? Everything's right with God. It is, but I'm getting in. Why are you going down there? The Lord's been good to you. You don't need to go down and get more. That you don't understand. It's not that I need more. It's that I want some more. And so I'm getting in. I've got to get into this. I got to keep getting in. They used to say, put up your hands because, you know, the Holy Ghost only works through antennas, you know. That's getting in, amen. We need to be sensitive. Sensitive to the moving of the Spirit that we are people of praise. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. He lives in them. When you're seeking the Holy Ghost, don't just come down and say, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me. When you're seeking the Holy Ghost, come down and say, Lord, fill me, and I praise you for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing me out of that sinful lifestyle. Thank you for cleansing me of all that you've done. Thank you for how good you've been, your protection, your guidance. Begin to lift him up because he lives in those praises, and the Holy Ghost falls when you praise him. Be sensitive to God's word. When his word deals with you, make it right. Make it right. Boy, we're stubborn. Aren't we? And I'm in that boat with you. Don't worry, I'm not preaching to any. I'm preaching to all of us. Me too. Amen. We can be really stubborn. The word of God deals with us. Well, bless the Lord, I'll tell you. Come on now. Amen. We get frustrated sometimes with all, can't we just come to church and hear a positive message? Come on now. I'd rather watch Joseph Prince on home and TV anyway, I tell you. That preacher just, he always beats on you. I've had people go home and say, every time I come in there, I feel condemned. I go, well, that means the word of God's working. What are you going to do with what the Lord's saying needs to be condemned in your life? Amen? Well, I don't like to feel condemned. Well, I'm sorry. The Lord's not really worried about your feelings. He's worried about your soul. And he wants everything right between you and God. Amen? We need to get back to prayer. Prayer is where the Spirit moves. The Bible said that they were praying in the upper room. They were waiting in prayer. Why aren't we waiting in prayer? You know, the Christian's prayer today is, Lord, fill me. Well, I guess it ain't today. Thank you, Lord. Talk to you next week, Sunday, same time. Amen. Prayer's got to go beyond the 2 hours you spend in church. It's got to be a lifestyle in your heart that says, Lord, I've come to be with you. I love you. And I want you to move in my life. Move in my heart. Fill me with your Spirit. If you don't pray on Monday like you prayed Sunday morning, there might be a hitch in your get-along, and you need to get that hitch fixed. Amen? And you need to get back to getting in there and praying properly. Make a room. I know one lady, she made her prayer closet her bathroom because she had 9 kids. Only one of them was a teenager. The rest of them were adolescents. They were young kids. 9 of them. You know what she did? She let the kids run amok. She shut the door in the bathroom, and she's filled the Holy Ghost praying on the commode. She made the commode an altar. She knelt down there, and the Lord come down and touched her in that place. God filled her in the most weird place, but you got to make a place where you spend time with God. Otherwise, the world just runs you ragged. Waiting makes you sensitive. Makes you sensitive. Waiting strengthens your spiritual perseverance. And some of us need some real spiritual perseverance. At the sign of trouble, we become the most frantic, crazy people. Oh, there's a storm! And instead of trusting the Lord, we automatically say, I can't handle it. Amen? Now listen, don't be looking at anybody else because we're all guilty of this one. Amen? There ain't nobody immune from that one. Amen? We've all done it. We've all been there where we have not wanted to wait and we got in the storm, and instead of waiting the storm out, we're wanting God to snatch us out of the storm. God, come down and pluck us out, please. Just relieve us from the storm. But then the storm, we lose the valuable things in the storm. We lose the ability to persevere and trust God through difficult times. If we don't learn to trust Him in the hardest times, God can hardly use us in the hard times. There are many Christians who they can worship the Lord when the sun's shining, but when it's all cloudy out, they can't worship God anymore. When the storms of life are raging, they're done. They're quit. They're finished. But when they're serving the Lord and they're going through the storm, God is embedding in us. He's putting in us a perseverance in our life. And that's the point of waiting. Why didn't the Holy Ghost just fall that moment Jesus ascended? Maybe God was putting perseverance in him. But maybe the Lord simply wanted it to fall on Pentecost, which is very probably true. He wanted it to fall at that specific day. But know this, God has a specific day in which He wants to fill you. But you have to allow the waiting to do its job inside your life, to build perseverance, to put in you a sensitivity to the moving of the Spirit of God. Paul wanted deliverance right now. He said, God, deliver me from this messenger of Satan that buffets me. And God said, no, you're going to wait. My grace is sufficient for you, he said. Wait. Wait. When you are willing to wait for the Holy Ghost, you are less likely to quit working for God when it gets hard. Many Christians, when it gets hard, are ready to quit. They get to the end of the rope, and instead of tying a knot and just holding on and swinging through the storm, they're willing to let go. Amen? They're willing to let go. And God's got to put in us a perseverance that keeps us in a place that He can actually use us and trust us in the most difficult times of our lives. As a Christian, I've been through some really difficult times. Times where I thought, man, am I going to make it through this? Am I going to be able to make it through this? But after I come through it, I realized all I got to do is keep holding on. Keep holding on. No matter what the storm brings, amen? No matter what the storm brings, I just got to keep waiting. Keep waiting. The first time I sought for the Holy Ghost, I wanted it right away. I prayed an hour and I said, fill me, Lord. I was going to a school only once a week, so I had plenty of time. So I would pray three times a day, an hour each time, and I would seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was seeking. I was waiting. Every time I went to the prayer closet, I thought, this is it. I'm going to get it today for sure. Days would go by. Then a week, nothing. Not even a tear, you know. That's kind of a downer. You know, usually you get a moment where the Spirit moves on you and you start to cry. Not even those, you know. It's like the heavens were brass. I'd pray and nothing fall, nothing move. Then I'd pray, so I kept doing this, and 2 weeks passed. Nothing. Nothing moved. 3 weeks passed. Nothing moved. Man, I was getting frustrated. Because every time I went up there, I'm like, okay, today, this is it for sure. For sure this is it. Nope, nothing. Finally, a month passed. And I was watching TBN or some Christian station, and a guy gets up there and he says, oh, it's easy to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What a liar. I was so angry that I went upstairs and I was getting ready to tell God that this false prophet down here on TBN needs to be kicked off. I mean, he is prophesying lies from the pits of hell because I've been seeking for a month, an hour each time, three times a day. So I've been seeking for 3 hours plus every day, asking the Lord to fill me, and I hadn't had so much of a shake, a quake, or a tear, nothing. Not a thing. And I'm marching upstairs to my bedroom, and I opened the door, and the presence of the Lord was waiting for me. Waiting for me. I turned my music on. I began to pray. And the Holy Ghost came down in a way I could never, ever, 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 ever express to you. I jumped my king bed. I jumped around that room. I shouted. I spit. I cried. I quaked. I was slain. I think I spoke in Chinese, Japanese, some other type of language. I went everywhere. I mean, it was powerful. I finally got to the point where I could not stand. My little brother's here tonight. He can testify to this. So I crawled out of my bedroom, and I ran downstairs and grabbed my brother by the arm, and I said, "You gotta come feel this!" Didn't I, Joe? It hasn't changed a bit. And Joey, he's like, "Look at me, you're a weirdo, dude, you're a weirdo." It was for me, I had waited for it. You know, sometimes you'll get the Holy Ghost. Everyone else is looking around going, what's going on? They hadn't waited to receive it like you have. And sometimes it takes that time of waiting for that Spirit of the Lord to fall. Don't give up, but keep waiting for it. Every day, say, "Lord, is this the day you're going to fill me? Father, I want you to fill me. I'm staying around here because I know you said to wait for the expectancy of it. I'm staying with this mentality. I know a man who sought for the Holy Ghost for 13 years. 13 years. Well, I don't know how much he sought in that time, but he sought. Amen. But I think when he finally got really serious, something broke in him. And God gloriously filled him with the Holy Ghost. Does God want to baptize you? Most certainly he does. But as I told you this morning, the Holy Ghost only falls on them who are consecrated for the Master's use. And as I'm telling you tonight, God might want you to wait so he can work some things out in your life. Amen? Do you really value the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because if you do, you'll be willing to wait for it. And every day you'll wait for it. But you're not going to wait by not doing nothing. So many people want the Holy Ghost, but they want it to come down in lightning as if and not ever have to seek. Sometimes you have to seek and then be filled. Seek, knock, and it shall be open. That's the concept of waiting. We can't be such in a hurry because the Holy Ghost, he doesn't move in a hurry. Matter of fact, he's a pretty good gentleman, and he will move at his pace. But I promise you, when he comes, I promise you, it'll lift you up to a realm you never thought you could ever experience in God. Ever experience in God. How wonderful it is to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.